Trump's Trials from NPR. I'm Scott Detrow.
This is a persecution.
He actually just stormed out of the courtroom.
Innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Here in your feed today to share some interesting analysis that aired on All Things Considered today about former President Trump's ongoing legal woes taking place in the middle of a presidential election. We'll have that interview for you after a quick break.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
You're listening to Trump's Trials. I'm Scott Detrow. And now, here's Ari Shapiro.
It's not unusual for judges to get threats from the mafia, terrorist organizations, or street criminals. None of that compares to the level of abuse and hostility against judges hearing cases involving former President Donald Trump. One of those judges, Juan Merchan, just expanded a gag order on Trump after the former president named Merchan's daughter and posted photos of her on Truth Social. A report from Reuters finds that threats against courts and justice officials have tripled since 2015. Ned Parker is one of the reporters who worked on the story. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Hi, Ari.
You spoke to more than a dozen judges for the story, and you open by talking about one of them, Judge Royce Lamberth, who has been on the court for a very long time and never seen anything like this. What's his experience been?
Right. What struck him is the high volume of threats he's receiving related to January 6th cases. His wife, related to one case, received a phone call at home where a person described wanting to kill her husband.
Well, it falls to the U.S. Marshal Service to protect federal judges and other court personnel. You reviewed their data. You interviewed people with the marshals. Are they able to handle this wave of threats and hostility?
I think the challenge for the Marshal Service is, right, we've seen 27,000 threats against the federal courts from the fall of 2015 through the fall of 2022, a volume they consider unprecedented in their history. Along with that, we've seen since 2020 a doubling of what they would consider to be serious threats against judges. And then the challenge with that is, how do you determine whether someone is serious about acting, and when is it just a threat?
Mm-hmm. What leads you to conclude that these are connected to Donald Trump?
Well, what's interesting is that the increase we've seen in serious threats against federal judges has really gone in parallel with the dozens of failed lawsuits that the president and his supporters brought after the 2020 election, and then this most recent cascade of criminal and civil litigation. And then the former president himself has gone online on Truth Social and used terms such as crooked, rigged, corrupt, election interfering, witch hunt to describe the judges and the judiciary. And with court filings, we see judges and their court officers describing how threats against them have increased.
And you've looked at the database of threats against federal judges, but there is no central record keeping for information about threats against state and local judges. And Juan Merchan, who we mentioned, the judge hearing the Trump case involving Stormy Daniels, he's not a federal judge, so his case is not recorded in this data. So do you have a sense of how those officials are doing?
Well, we spoke to a lot of state judges for our story, and it's interesting. There's been an increase in threats. For instance, in Maricopa County in Arizona, where there were many cases related to the 2020 election, the 2022 election, the courts there have, you know, recorded a spike in threats. They've seen more than 400 cases of threats and harassments against their judges and staff between 2020 and 2023. Those were some numbers we obtained. Now, not all of those are related to former President Donald Trump's cases or to political cases, but broadly, local judges feel, in their words, what they describe to us is that there is a breakdown in trust that people have for the court system. And they also, some of the judges we spoke to, felt that the broader drama on the national stage, where there's such heated rhetoric, whether it comes from Democrats, Republicans, or a certain branch of government, that it trickles down to the local level.
You report that arrests in these cases are very rare. So is anything being done to stop this?
Well, legislation has been passed to on the federal level and in some states to protect judges' personal information, with the idea that their addresses, their phone numbers won't be put online and they won't be harassed. The challenge is that the genie is out of the bottle, in that it's so easy to find somebody online at this point. And then the other dilemma is that when there is such, at times, violent and volatile language that's used to describe any institute of government or public servant, once you have this charged rhetoric, it's very hard to de-escalate it.
Reuters reporter Ned Parker, thank you.
Thanks, Ari.
Thanks for listening to Trump's Trials from NPR. Keep an eye out for more episodes like this whenever big news happens. And we'll be back later this week with our regular show on Saturday. I'm Scott Detrow.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election: guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.